big list of Tanoim on each side, where the suka has to dafke be diras keva, the suka has to be dafke diras aroi. In the opening Mishnah, in suka, there's a machlokes rabbeinu and the chachamim, if the schach is lamayla me'esra mama. So the chachamim holds no good, and rabbeinu holds that it is good. So the Gemara has three different interpretations as to what the machlokes is. So one of the interpretations is that that's exactly the machlokes. The Rabbeinu's shita is that the sukkah has to dafke be diras keva. So the Mala Meser Mama doesn't pose a problem. It's a hida mitzvah. If it's the taller it is, so the more kavua it is. And the Chacham hold no, it has to be dafke be diras haroi, because diras keva is possible. We assume that this is, even though the Gemara has three amaroim, gave three different interpretations in Rav Shita's Rav Yehuda, but there's a braisa in Menachos where the Gemara has a machlekes between Rav Yehuda and Chacham, where the sukkah sachag b'chag is chayev is b'mezuzah. You only mechayev b'mezuzah if you have a diras keva. If you have a house that it's only diras haroi, you're not chayev b'mezuzah. So the Gemara b'feirish has a braisa that is a machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rav Yehuda holds that the sukkah has to dafke be diras keva. The Chachamim hold that has to dafke be diras haroi. 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher, according to the Chachamim, because they're called diras haroi, according to Rav Yehuda, because they're called diras keva. 1% of the sukkahs are mamish diras keva, so according to the Chachamim, it's no good. And 1% of the sukkahs in the world are mamish diras haroi, according to Rav Yehuda, it'll be no good. So one example of that, what's an example of a sukkah that's diras keva? The opening Mishnah says, L'mayla me'esher mama. So according to the Chachamim, it's possible because it's no good. It's a diras keva, has to dafke be diras haroi. What's an example of a sukkah that's bedafke diras haroi? So the Mishnah in the second parak in sukkah has a machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's the same Rav Yehuda, Pasha Pshat. The Gemara has two amaroim give pshat. So one amara said that's the pshat. What if the sukkah is supported by a chair? You have a couple of chairs, and the chairs are 10 tefachim tall. Or let's say you have, okay, chairs. So Rav Yehuda says that a sukkah that's being supported by a chair is obviously a diras hara, because the chair is portable. It's not attached to the ground. Not attached to the ground. By definition, it's a diras haroi. Rav Yehuda said that it's no good. The Chacham said that it is good. There's nothing wrong. It's supposed to be a sukkah. It's supposed to be diras haroi. The Gemara has another interpretation, Rav Yehuda, why Rav Yehuda says it's no good. Because on the first daf in sukkah, the Gemara calls three different interpretations. Why does Rav Yehuda, what's the machlokes, whether the sukkah l'mayla me'esra mama is possible or not? And the meilah, what's pshat in Rav Yehuda? How come Rav Yehuda said that it is good? So the simple pshat is because of diras keva, diras haroi. That's the pasha pshat. And that's based on the braisa in Menachos and the sugi of mezuzah, all the dinim on mezuzah. Most of the dinim on mezuzah are in the middle of Menachos. So the Gemara there says it's a machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether a sukkah sachag b'chag is chay ben mezuzah, whether a sukkah sachag is considered diras keva, diras haroi. So the not all the Amoraim were aware of that braisa. Some of them thought that there was a machlekes hatanoim, where the sukkah has to dafke be diras haroi, diras keva, but it's not necessarily Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Could be that they don't argue about that. They weren't aware about that braisa with the mezuzah story. So that's why the Gemara has another interpretation in the second parak in sukkah. What's the machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan if the sukkah is being supported by chairs, being supported by a bed? You used to have headboard and the footboard, and you have this schach on top. And the thing that's the tfanas of the sukkah is the portable bed. Nothing is attached to the ground. The Gemara has another interpretation that Rav Yehuda says that it's no good. Rav Yehuda says that it's no good. The Pashm Shati Rav Yehuda says it's no good because the Diras Haroi, because it's not attached to the ground. But the Gemara has another pshat. Maybe Rav Yehuda says it's not good because a new din of Mamid. What's Mamid? So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that the psul of Mamid is only exerted the Rabbanon. If the schach is being supported with something that's possible, the sachich boy, we'll have to get to that in a minute, what's kosher the sachech, what's posa the sachech. So if you have schach, if you have something that's posa the sachech poi, there's a gzeir by the Rabbanon, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to support the schach with that, a gzeir that you may decide to use that for the schach. I say in the Shulchan Aruch, that's the accepted opinion, because the Ramah quotes the Ran on the Rif, who says, let's say, if people are familiar with my building, if you walk out the window in my dining room, we always used to have a sukkah over there. So the walls of the sukkah used to be, there's a narrow backyard, so the walls of the sukkah used to be the walls of the two buildings. You have the bricks on both sides, and those are the two defenders of the sukkah. So bricks are not good for schach. Same thing, stones are not good for schach. It's not gidule karka. The three conditions that are necessary for the schach to be kosher is, we'll soon speak in a minute about it, the three conditions are, has to be gidule karka, has to have grown from the ground, has to be tolush, has to be dovshein mekabel tumah. If you have fruits or vegetables that grow from the ground, they grew from the ground and now they're detached, so it's gidule karka and tolush, but it's a dovah hamekabel tumah. So that's not acceptable to schach. The din is that oichlim, I say fruits and vegetables are oichlim. There are four things that are mekabel tumah, four categories of things. Odom, mekelim, oichlim, amashkim. So oichlim and mekabel tumah, only if it had hechsher, if only if it's rinsed off, kiyuta, mai, malzera. So let's say you have fruits and vegetables that were not rinsed off, so strictly speaking, it's not yet mekabel tumah. But nonetheless, the Gemara seems to say explicitly that it's no good for schach. So that's a machlekes achronim, whether that's no good ben haTorah mid haRabbanim. Some say it's no good mid haRabbanim because ben haTorah it's not yet the mekabel tumah. It's not a dova hamekabel tumah. Other achronim hold no. It is a dova hamekabel tumah. All you have to do is akzeres hakos. You have to rinse it off, but you don't have to do anything more than rinsing it off. So that's the dova. The oichlim is considered dova hamekabel tumah. So that's the question, if you have fruits or vegetables that were not hukshel lekabel tumah, are they posel lesachech bo min haTorah or mid haRabbanim? So again, so in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, what if you have bricks, so you have stones, gigantic stones like here. In the street, they have gigantic slabs of stone. So let's say someone's going to lean the stone sideways, and it'll be 10 tefachim tall, and this will support the schach. So you can't use a stone for schach, can you use it to be mamid the schach? So the Ran says that the whole din that Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Mishnah, that you cannot be mamid the sukkah with the bed, with the chairs, is because the chairs are a dovah hamakabel tumah, there's a gzera de rabbon, and some may, they'll see that you use the chairs for the tvana, so then they'll think they can use it for schach also, because it's gedule karka. So the Ramah quotes the Ran that no one in his right mind is going to think that you can use bricks or stones for schach. Everybody knows that you have to leave your house, say mediras keva, and you have to go into the sukkah. Everybody understands that. So if you're talking about gzera derabbanon, the gzera derabbanon doesn't apply by bricks and by stones. Rashi doesn't seem to agree with the Ran. Rashi on the Gemara sounds like he holds that, according to the Tana Rabbi, he holds that mamin is no good. You can't be mamid the schach with the dava haposel the sachich boy, that it's a din deraisa. Rashi says since this is supporting the schach, that's the essence of the sukkah. So it can't be whatever the psulim of schach are, but apply to the mamid as well. So the pashib shat in Rashi is that he holds that it's a din deraisa. Are there any differences halacha lemaisa between something that's no good for schach min haTorah, no good min rabbanon? So there is a question. The way we assume in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah follows the Ran, that Mamid, Rabbi Yehuda Shita in the Mishnah, that Mamid is no good for Schach, it's only a Gzera de Rabbanon. So the question is, we usually have a din that Ushmartem es Mishmarti, that's the concluding Pasuk in Parsha Zachri Mos. So the Gemara says in Yibamas on Daf Chafalav, that Pasuk is what authorizes the Chachamim to introduce Gzera de Rabbanon. The opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Aseis Yog LaTorah, Ad Sheknes HaGadala, Hey Mom, Mishlosh Edvorim, Aseis Yog LaTorah. So the mocker for the authority of the Chachamim, why the Chachamim not in violation of Baal Tosef when they invented Din DeRabbanan? You have 613 mitzvahs and they're adding on more mitzvahs. So the answer is, Gzeiris, they have a right to make. What right do they have to make? Mikra Megillah and Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, that's another discussion. That's those are not gzeiros. But if they make a gzeira de rabbanim, that's based on a shmartemes. Mishmarti, so mishmeres lemishmarti. So Rashi writes in the beginning of Beitza, the Gemara says that the chachamim don't make a gzeira legzeira. The Rashi understands from the pasuk, asum mishmeres lemishmarti velo mishmeres lemishmeres. You have the right to make a gzeira de rabbanim if the whole concern that you have is that people are going to violate a din de rabbanim. You have to have a tzarach gadol. Just like, let's say, if you have a milsa de la shchicha, there's a far-fetched concern, once in 100 years, someone's going to be doing an aveira. So therefore, we make all of Klal Yisrael crazy, we don't allow them to do something. Once in 100 years, someone's going to be mechal Shabbos, so therefore, you have to make a chumrah on everybody. So that's a milsa de la shchicha, that's not sufficient cause to make a gzera de rabban. So too, even if there is a cause, a common cause, but the whole concern is that if you don't make a gzera de rabban, people will violate a different din de rabban. So din de rabban is not as serious as a din de raisa. That's insufficient cause. The Prima Gautam has an interesting comment. He says, if based on the Rashi in the beginning of Beitza, that if the Bezdin will make a gzera, the Bezdin will be in violation of Bal Tosif. There's a whole reason why there's no violation of Bal Tosif. The Rishonim say that. The whole reason why there's no violation of Bal Tosif when the Rabbanim make a gzera, the Rabbanim, because the Torah authorizes them to make gzeras. Ushmatem is mishmarti. But if the mashmasa, the pasuk is, like Rashi writes in the beginning of Beitza, velo mishmeres lemishmeres, that's not sufficient cause to make a gzera, the Rabbanim. So then if they will make a gzera, the best one that makes such a gzera will be in violation of Bal Tosif. So the question is, let's say you assume like the Ran, not like Rashi, that Mamid is a psul de Rabbanon. It's not a din de Raisa. So what if you have schach that's only pasul mid de Rabbanon? Let's say we said if you have fruits or vegetables that will ahuchsha le kabel tumah. So the Gemara says that it's pasul to use for schach, but it's a machlekes achrenim, whether it's a din de Raisa, a din de Rabbanon. So if one should hold that that's only a din de Rabbanon, we just say they're not allowed to be Mamid with fruits and vegetables that will ahuchsha le kabel tumah, is that considered a gzeira le gzeira? So that's a big machlokes in achrenim. That's a machlokes in achrenim. In Mishnah Berurah there's a stira, both within 2 pages of each other. He's quoting different achrenim. So, the son of the Chafetz Chaim wrote a whole biography of his father that's included in the 3 volumes of the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. So he writes that the project of working on the Mishnah Berurah was a family project, and he says different members of the family wrote different sections in the Mishnah Berurah, and his father was the general editor. He was overseeing the whole project. They were learning everything together, but the Achra was written by whoever wrote that section. So he writes, the son of the Chafetz Chaim writes, I wrote this section, my uncle wrote the other section, and that's why there's a contradiction regarding, he tells you what, regarding the din, whether if Yisrael does malocha on Shabbos, but he have to wait, b'chdei she'asu on Metzoy Shabbos. The Gemara says, if a Nochri does a malocha for Yisrael on Shabbos or Yontav, you have to wait, b'chdei she'asu. What if Yisrael does malocha on Shabbos or Yontav? Yisrael, in the days of the Gemara, it's very far-fetched that Yisrael is going to do malocha on Shabbos. They didn't have reform and conservative Jews. All the Jews were either observant or they were mishumadim. So they're not going to hang around the rest of the Jewish community. So in the days of the Gemara, it's far-fetched that you should say a gzeira de rabbanon, that if a Jew does malocha for another Jew on Shabbos, a yontav, you have to wait b'chdei she'asu to serve as a deterrent that he shouldn't ask the other Jew to do the malocha for him and make believe that he did it on his own. So we say that you're not allowed to get hano until b'chdei she'asu, it should serve as a deterrent. You need a deterrent. The other Jew is going to be religious. He's not going to be religious. They didn't exist in the day. He's going to be a meshumet. He's not going to be in our community at all. So it's a machlokes in Rishonim, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, where they need b'chdei she'asu. So there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah between one section and the other section. There are a lot of steers in the Mishnah Berurah. But here there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah, mamish 2 pages apart. They're both in Hilchos Sukkah. The same, whoever wrote those 2 pages wrote these 2 pages. He just didn't realize he was quoting 2 different achronim who disagree with each other. That is an issue. The pashtus is that it's not a gzeira l'gzeira. Pashtus is a gzeira l'gzeira that the chacham have no right to make and may be a violation of Bal Tosif, the way the Bim Kodim says. Gzeira l'gzeira means if what motivated the chachamim to make a gzeira was because they're afraid that someone's going to violate a din the Rabbanah. But if they made two different gzeiras, the Rabbanah, they made a din of Mamid, we're afraid that if you'll allow people to use psule schach to support the schach, then they make a mistake and think that you can use it with schach. Then they made a different gzeira, the Rabbanah, that oichlim that are not hukshel kabel tum are also no good for schach. These are two independent gzeiras of Rabbanah. It happened to combine together, so that's a trade the Rabbanah. A trade the Rabbanah, like a shvuz the shvuz. A trade the Rabbanah, let's say shvuz the shvuz, we assume is mutam amaka mitzvah. One should say every shvuz is a gzeira l'gzeira. And so that's not a gzeira l'gzeira. That's a trade the Rabbanah. Gzeira l'gzeira is if what motivated you to make the gzeira was that you're concerned someone's going to violate an isa the Rabbanah. Here, each gzeira the Rabbanah is introduced for a good purpose because of a chashash deraisa. Here, the two happen to collide together. They happen to combine. That's a trade the Rabbanah. That's a shvuz the shvuz, but that's not a gzeira l'gzeira. This distinction is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah from Rabbi Kiveger, and a tshuva writes like this. So it's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like Rabbi Kiveger's maskana. Rabbi Kiveger starts off with a chumrah. Then at the end of the tshuva, he turns around and he's mekel. So the Mishnah Berurah didn't like the maskana, so he doesn't tell you where the Rabbi Kiveger is. He quotes line, word for word. He quotes word for word from Tshuva's Rebbe. He doesn't tell you that he's quoting Tshuva's Rebbe Kiveger. Because if you look it up, you see that the Maskana Rebbe Kiveger is not the way the Mishnah Berurah comes to Maskana. But he's quoting a Tshuva's Rebbe Kiveger. And the Pnei Yeshua has this in the first Perek HaMasech Shabbos. And the Sfasemis has the same. They point out the two different things. Gzeira is one thing, and a Shvus and a Trei Derabbanan is a different thing. Acham Avadya has a tshuva where he talks about this particular issue, where there's this stir in the Mishnah Berurah regarding Mamid b'schach pasal de Rabbanon. He says it's a trade de Rabbanon and it's aser, and he says it's a gzeirah. The gzeirah doesn't apply. Pashta says it shouldn't be gzeirah; it should be a trade de Rabbanon. So Acham Avadya claims he checked in all the Rishonim. I have not checked in all the Rishonim. I'll trust him. He says he checked in all the Rishonim. And the only one Rishon discusses the topic, and he says lahokel. So if there's a usually that's the klal. There's a machlokes and achrenim, and Rishonim talk about it. And the only shita that they have is one of the two opinions that usually we follow day and the Rishonim. That's what Chacham Avadya says. He says you can be mekel over here. If you're going to be mamid b'schach pasul the rabbanon, you can be mekel because even though it's machlokes and achrenim. But in the Rishonim, the only one who talks about is the Ritva and Sukkah, to his knowledge. That's what Chacham Avadya claims. And he says that the Ritva says Lahakam. It's a difficult Ritva. Why should it have been a trade de Rabbanah? It shouldn't be a Gzeira L'Gzeira. But it comes up, Halacha L'Maisa, yeah. Yeah. What's the story with Mamid? So Mi'ikar Adin, we don't paskin Mamid at all. Mi'ikar Adin, it's a Machlokes Rabbeinu and Chachamim and the Mishnah, if the schach is resting, is being supported by chairs, by bed, by the headboard in the bed. So what's the machlokes? So the pashup shat in the Mishnah is that it's the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon l'shitasam, where the sukkah has to be diras keva, diras haroi. If it has to be diras keva and the whole sukkah is being supported by chairs, so that Rabbi Yehuda would say it's no good. So the pashup shat in Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasam. We know we don't paskin like that, Rabbi Yehuda. We know that we paskin that the sukkah has to be diras haroi, not chayv and mezuzah on sukkahs, because the sukkah is diras haroi. But there's a minority opinion among the Rishonim that we should paskin like the other shita in the Gemara, that this machlok is abiyun the rabbanon. The second perek by Mamid is unrelated to, it's not like she tells him about whether he needs sukkah diras haroi, diras keva, it's a shayla of Mamid. But then still, it didn't should have been Rabbi Yehuda v'Chachamim, Yochid v'Rab Malachi k'Rabim. So most of the Rishonim paskin that we don't hold from Mamid. Whatever the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is, we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Yochid v'Rab Malachi k'Rabim. There's a minority, Sheba minority opinion. It's not a Rashi or a Ben Tam, not a famous Rambam or anything. One of the obscure Rishonim holds like that. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they say, Mikra Adin, Mamid is not a problem. We really don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But because there was such a minority opinion that you shouldn't have Mamid, and it's not Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa, it's not because of Diras Keva, Diras Haroi, but that's why the Shulchan Aruch recommends that one should be Machmeh for Mamid. So the Mogen Avraham quotes a Ramban in the Melchames that even according to Reb Yudah that Mamed is no good, but Mamed the Mamed is good. So what's called Mamed the Mamed? What's called Mamed the Mamed? So the Ramban is talking like this. The Schach has to be Kidule Karka, Tolush, and Dova Hashena Makabel Tuma. Three conditions. So let's say the walls of the sukkah are resting on the ground. So the ground is karka. It's not gedula karka, it's karka. So you can't be mesachech li karka. So every sukkah is being supported by the ground. So how is any sukkah in the world good? The ground is supporting the sukkah. The ground is no good. So the Ramban says, that's mamed de mamed. So that Chazanish said, that's all the Ramban said. That's all the Ramban said. But the Magen Avraham understood differently, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. He says, what if you have a metal frame, and then the schach is going to be resting on the metal frame? So the metal is karka. That's not gedula karka. It doesn't grow in the ground. You mine it from the ground. So the metal is considered karka mamish. So if you're going to have the schach resting on the metal frame, so that's a problem of mamid. So again, mikra din mamid is kosher. The whole thing is only a chumra. So if you're going to visit by someone else, or if your parents have a metal frame and they have the schach resting on the frame, mikra din is really kosher. They're not being machmer, not mechuyif to be machmer. But the Shulchan Aruch recommends one should be machmer. They don't pass it, they recommend you should be choshish, but that minority should be minority opinion. The Rabbi Yudah Shita, that if it's resting on a chair, is no good because a mamid has nothing to do with Diras Keva. And even though Yochid V'Rabim should usually be Aloha G'Rabim, here, some of the Rishonim Paschal Rabbi Yudah is very obscure Shita. So the Magen Avraham says, what if you'll have four wooden beams? Let's say this is the top of the sukkah. Have a metal frame. So I'll take four beams. One beam goes over here, one over here, and two over here, and then all the schach will be resting on top of the four wooden beams, which are resting on top of the metal frame. So the Magen Avraham calls that mamed de mamed. So the Chazon Ish makes fun of that. He says, why is that mamed de mamed? Let's say you have a lot of schach that's 3 inches thick. And it's resting on the metal frame. So why don't you say the upper inch and a half is the schach, and the lower inch and a half is the mamid. You don't say that. You say all the 3 inches of schach are schach. So here also, why did you say just because these are branches and the wooden beams are pieces of lumber, but it's all schach? So the four wooden beams with all of the schach, all the branches, whatever you put, all the evergreens, whatever you put on top, everything is schach. So all the schach is resting on top of the metal beam. So that's not mamid the mamid. All of the wood, all the gedula karka is schach. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that's a joke. But that's the Minhag HaOlam was like that. Minhag HaOlam was, the Mishnah Berurah quoted that Magen Avraham, that you're not mechuyev. Mikra din, we really don't paskin mamid. The whole thing is only a chumra to begin with. So if you put the wooden beams, so you're not mechuyev to worry more. But we live in a generation that a lot of people looking for chumris, leaders, chasidus. A lot of people have what they call a Chazon Ish sukkah. They're careful not to be maker like that. If they have a metal frame, they won't just put four wooden beams on the four sides and then put all the schach on top. Because the Chazon Ish holds that the four wooden beams with all the schach is all schach. That's not mamed de mamed. So they'll spend another $100, whatever, to have a wooden frame that will hold up the schach. Okay. The metal frame is going to hold up the tfanis. Usually you have canvas or something tied around the metal frame. And then you're going to have a wooden frame that's going to hold up the schach. So that's an expensive proposition. But we live in a generation. A lot of people like to be machmer, but that's Chazon Ish. But in the Mishnah Berurah it says lahokel. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that's called mamed de mamed. What exactly is mamid? So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes the following situation. I have a sukkah and I put on schach and it's good. Sukkah is good. But they predict that it's going to be stormy on sukkahs. And the wind, it may be so windy that the wind may blow the schach off. But right now the schach is sitting on top of the sukkah. It's a kosher sukkah. So I put a ladder, a heavy ladder, on top of the schach, so in case the wind will blow, the wind will not succeed in blowing the schach off. So the Mechaber writes, he's quoting from Rishonim, Yeshli Histapeik, whether a wooden ladder is Mekabel Tuma or not. Because it's a Pshutik Klei Eitz. But let's say if you have a Dixie cup, so you have a little spoon that's just flat. It doesn't have any base kibble. If you have a knife, it's also flat. But Kli Matech is a Mekabel Tuma, even if it doesn't have a Toch. So a metal knife is Mekabel Tuma, even if it's not indented. But a wooden spoon is only Mekabel Tuma if it has a Toch. It has to have an indentation that it can hold something in it. So let's say the little spoon that they give you when you have a Dixie cup is just flat. So that's not Mekabel Tuma. Pshutik Leitz are not Mekabel Tuma. So if you have a wooden ladder, everything is wood, then it's Pshutik Leitz. It shouldn't be Mekabel Tuma. So the Mechaber quotes some Rishonim, I'm not sure, maybe it is Mekabel Tuma, because it's Mesham Sheyodim, because people climb on the ladder, so maybe it is Mekabel Tuma. So Mechaber writes, he's not sure whether that has the psul, if you're choshish for Mamed. Nikarad din Mamed is not a problem. Rav Rishonim say it's not a problem. But if you want to be choshish for Mamed, so the Mechaber writes, yesh lehis topic, whether that's a problem. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that's a joke. Chazon Ish a lot of times is Mekel. He's not always Machmer. He's Mekel also a lot of times. So he thinks that this is not correct. He thinks that Mamed only is, like we said, you have chairs, and the schach is resting on the chairs. So if the chairs won't be there, the schach is going to fall down to the ground. Or let's say you have the frame, you have a metal frame of the sukkah, and the schach is resting on the metal frame. So if you take away the metal frame, the schach is going to fall on the floor. But let's say you put up the schach, and then you're afraid the wind is going to blow, so you bang in nails in some of the schach. So the nails are not gedule karka, but the nails are keeping the schach in place. It's because of the nails that the wind doesn't blow the schach out of place. But the schach was sitting there well. The schach was sitting on top of the sukkah without the nails. The nails are to prevent it from becoming posel. So the Chazon Ish thinks, he gives a moshel from Hilchos Mikvos, that there's a din haviyasa de dover hamakabel tumah. So there it doesn't depend on the dover hamakabel tumah preserving the heksher of the mikveh. It's only if the dover hamakabel tumah made it into a mikveh in the first place. And he thinks that putting the ladder on top is not a problem on mamim. Even though he recommends one should be choshen from mamim, the Mechaber says, l'chatchila, one should be machmen to be choshen from mamim, but he thinks that putting the ladder on top or putting nails in is not called mamim. It's preventing it from becoming posel, and that's not called mamim. The Mishnah says if you have a sukkah and you can't see the stars at night, you can't see the stars through the schach, so it's also kosher. So the Ran on the Rif quotes in the name of the Bali Atosis. We don't have this Atosis, but the Ran quotes in the name of the Bali Atosis that's as far as the cooler goes. You can't see the stars. But what if there's so much schach, even if it's raining, the rain will not leak in. So he says that's no good. That's Beisel Shalkala Shana Kula. Even if you're all like Rabbi Yehuda, that a sukkah is supposed to be Diras Keva, but if you have a sukkah that's like Beisel Shalkala Shana Kula, let's say the schach should be Gedule Karka Todosh Dova Shein Mekabel Tum. Let's say I buy a big sheet of wood. Instead of putting a brick or plastic roof, I'll take a big piece of plywood, gigantic piece of wood, and put it as the roof. It's impossible. The rain is not going to come through. It's a wooden roof. So the Ran says that's no good. The Ran says that's based on Shalkala Shana Kula. The Chumash says you have to leave your house, go into the sukkah. According to the Buddha, the sukkah also has to be there as keva. But it's not supposed to be the same as the house. If it doesn't rain in, that's no good. It's not considered a good sukkah. Yeah. Where is the mocker in the Chumash for all of these dinim? There has to be gedule karka, toldash, and dovash, and mekabel tumah. So the Pasuk in Chumash reads Chag HaSukkah starts lecha shivas yamim ve'aspacha migar lecha miyikvecha. So the simple pshuto shal mikra and a mikra etzim de pshuto. So the simple pshuto shal mikra is Chag HaSukkah starts lecha shivas yamim. You should celebrate the festival of Sukkot for the duration of 7 days. At what time? At what season in the year? Ba'aspacha migar lecha miyikvecha. At the ingathering season. In Eretz Yisrael, it never rains in the summertime until after Sukkot, when you start saying the Saint Talamotar, Mashiach, the Saint Talamotar. So it's not going to rain. So you can leave all of the peiros out in the field, and they're not going to get ruined by the rain. But Sukkot is called Chagos. If you start taking everything into the barn, that it shouldn't get ruined, because after Sukkot is over, the rain will start. So that's Bias Bacham Migonacha Mikvecha, that season of the year that you're going to gather in the tour from the farm. So that's the Pshuto Shal Mikvah. So the Chachamim say that Achaz Dibra Lekim Shtayim Zu Shamayti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that on any given one pasuk you can have more than one level of interpretation. One is the Pshuto Shal Mikvah, and the other one is the additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shabbal Peh, the Drosha of the Torah Shabbal Peh. So the Gemara says, read the pasuk for a minute without the word chag. So read the pasuk, sukkah tasa lecha, you should construct the sukkah. The Gemara understands tasa v'leim in ha'asui. We'll get to that in a minute. What's an example of tasa v'leim in ha'asui? Shivas yamim, the sukkah should be sturdied up to last for 7 days. Let's say, I made a wobbly sukkah. I'm only going to be in my own home the first 2 days of sukkah. The last days I'm going to go to my children. I'm going to go somewhere else. So I don't need a sukkah for the whole duration of 7 days. But the pasuk says, sukkah starts al ha-shivas yamim. Has to be sukkah ruya l'chol shiva. If the sukkah is not sturdy enough to last for 7 days, then it's not good even for the first 2 days. And what should you construct the sukkah? What kind of material should you use? Ba'os b'cham migor necham yikvecha. Not a kod pshut shalmik, ba'os b'cham means you should celebrate chag ha-sukkah salacha. You should celebrate the festival of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days at the ingathering season. But according to the additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Biyaspacha doesn't mean that season of the year when you're gathering in. It means what material should be used to make the schach. So you should use psolus garim beyekev. When you take in Biyaspacha migonecha miyekvecho, you're not going to take in all the stalks of straw together with, you're going to have a barn full of stuff. So you're going to separate the psolus from the oichel, and and the oichel you're going to take into the house, and the psolus is going to throw out in the garbage. So the schach should be made from gedulei karka tola shendova sheni mekabel tumah. Everything is learned out from that pasuk. But the question is, the word chag stares you in the face. How can you give an additional level of interpretation that the pasuk is talking about construction of the sukkah? It says chag ha-sukkah ta'asalacha. So the Tanoim say, Chag HaSukkah is hyphenated. It means a sukkah is hukash l'chag. The word chag means a korban chagiga. Sometimes in Chumash it refers to a holiday on which you bring a korban chagiga. In modern Hebrew and in Yiddish, they talk about chag ha'urim. We refer to Hanukkah as the festival of lights. Chag ha'urim. Or chag purim. Chag purim. Chag purim. Strictly speaking, in biblical Hebrew, purim is not a chag, because chag is only a term that applies to a yontah when you bring a korban chagiga. Chag asmicha in Europe. Mayor Shapiro made that. In America we have also chag asmicha. No one's bringing any korban chagiga. That's in Yiddish. You call it chag asmicha. Chag means a festival, a celebration. But in biblical Hebrew, the word chag either refers to the korban chagiga, korban shlomim, or it refers to holiday when you mechuyev. Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. The Sholosh Regalim, when you have to bring the Korban Chagiga, when you visit the Azara. So the Gemara understands the whole pasuk, the additional level of interpretation goes on constructing a sukkah. Took sukkah tasalcha, you should construct the sukkah. That's how you know the psul of tasav lamin or asri. And it should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. And the sukkah that you're going to construct will be hukash lachag. Kishem shachal shashamayim. Kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, just like the korban chagiga has an isa me'ila, it's hegdish, kachal shem shamayim ala sukkah. The sukkah is hooked to the mitzvosa. That's the question, how much of the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvosa? Because the din of tasav lemina osi that's learned up in this pasuk only applies to the schach, it doesn't apply to the tfanis. So some Rishonim hold that the Huktzah the Mitzvah also only applies to the Schach. The Rosh and the Rambam says not so. The Rambam says the Huktzah the Mitzvah applies even to the Defanis. Even though the rest of the Pasuk, that the Kark and Toldestov Shenim Mekabel Tumah, there was a Tana who was of the opinion that the Defanis also have to be Dovashenim Mekabel Tumah. We don't accept that opinion. The Gemara mentions it. The Gemara said we don't accept that opinion. But nonetheless, the Chal Shem Shamayim, Allah Sukkah, so the Rambam, that's the generally accepted opinion. The Rambam says that it applies even to the Tfanas, and the Rosh is surprised. Why should it apply to the Tfanas? What's an example of Tasov Lomin Ha'osui? So the Mishnah has an example. A Choytet Begodish, a person has a ton of hay, a stack of hay, and he crawls under the stack of hay, and he starts picking out a cavity inside the sack, inside this stack of hay. So he picks out a cavity that's 10 tvachim tall, and Zion al Zion, those are the dimensions of the sukkah. And now, all of the hay was there before he started picking anything out. Before he started doing anything, there were no tfanis, and there was no schach. It was just a stack of hay. He crawls on the bottom of this haystack, and he picks out the cavity inside, makes a whole cavity, and the mela, you have schach and you have tfana. So that's an example. That's the Mishnah's example of tasav lamin asa. That's a psul derais. So the Gemara says tasav lamin asa is only a problem on schach. It doesn't apply to the tfanas. Tfanas, there's no din of asiya. The Ramah has a chumrah. So some hold that it's a chumrah, it's against Gemaras. And others say maybe it's not against the Gemaras. That you should first put up. Sometimes we have a gigantic sukkah, so it's easier to put up the schach first than to put the tfanas. So the Ramah has a chumrah from the late Rishonim, early Achrenim, should always put up the tfanas first and then put the schach on top. So that when you place the schach, that's called the asiyas hasukkah, it's already kosher. But if you're going to first put up the schach, you don't have a kosher sukkah yet. And then you're going to put the tfanas, so the tfanas on machshe the schach, without doing a ma'isa in the schach. That's a problem of tasav lamanasa. So many hold that chumrah of the Ramah, it's only l'chatchila, because there seem to be quite a few gemaras that seem to indicate that that's not really an example of tasav lamanasa. What would be an example? Let's say for the following example. A person builds a sukkah under a tree, and the tree makes shade on the whole area. So and he puts schach on top of the sukkah. So the sukkah is no good. Sukkah tachas ilan is no good. No sukkah tachas abayis. And then he chops down all the branches on the tree. So at the time that he placed the schach on top of the sukkah, it wasn't kosher because the tree was making shade. The tree is mechubah. So the tree is making shade on the whole area. So the kosher schach that he put on top isn't helping making any shade. And then when he removes the tree, he chops down enough branches from the tree, then he makes a sukkah kosher. That's a real example of tasav lamin ha'asi. Yeah. So a lot of people have a lid to cover over the schach in case it's going to rain. So it's going to rain and the sukkah is going to be a sloppy mess and you won't be able to sit in the sukkah hours after it stops raining. Everything is going to be sopping wet. So they have a roof on top. In Yiddish, you call the roof a shlak. Shlak is a roof in Yiddish. So what if the person has the shlak on top of the sukkah when he places the schach on it? So when he's placing the schach, it's no good. You have to make sure when you put the schach on the Arab sukkahs or whatever, earlier, at some earlier time, the schach should be kosher now, as it is now. But if you have the shlak on, and then you take off the shlak later, that's tasav lamanos. So what if you made a sukkah? You made a kosher sukkah, and then it starts to rain on sukkahs, then you put the lid down. And then when it stops raining, then you open up the lid. So during the period of time that the lid, that the shlak was covering the sukkah, wasn't kosher, because the lid is not kosher the sachik, but it's not going to rain in. If it doesn't rain in, it's possible. And then you make the sukkah kosher by removing the lid. So it should always be tasav lamerasa. So that's a machloikis in the Mordechai, machlokes in the Rishonim. So one opinion is that whenever you have a lid and you cover it over the sukkah and then you open up the lid again, you have to pick up every piece of schach to make it kosher, because if you just leave it the way it is, that's a psul of a tassav laminos. That's a big chumer. That's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that if when you made this sukkah, the schach was kosher, even though you covered it over with a lid, then later you open the lid, since tchilos hanochas haschach was behechsher, so that's not a problem of tassav laminos. That doesn't pose a problem. So remember, years ago, it happens, one of my daughters got married 25 years ago, in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, in Eretz Yisrael. So she went to Eretz Yisrael after high school, she never came back. And now she is 25 years later, she has a whole bunch of children, she has ready to have a grandchild soon. So remember, that year was a Yotze Min HaKlal. That year was pouring on Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. Usually it doesn't rain. That year was raining. So it never rains in Eretz Yisrael. So they had, some people made Sukkot on the porches, some people made Sukkot on the ground level. So remember, the wind blew the schach off. They didn't tie down the schach. They didn't expect any winds. They didn't expect any rains. So some of the Sukkot on the ground level, the schach fell on the ground. And then the wind was blowing on the sukkahs on the fifth floor, and the schach fell down exactly on top of the sukkah on the ground floor. So I thought that's absolutely tassav leman asay. So many of the rabbanim said, no, tchilas hanochach haschach was behechsher. I thought that was ridiculous. Tchilas hanochach haschach was behechsher on a different sukkah. This sukkah mamish, that's literally tassav leman asay. That's literally tassav leman asay. It happened myself. The wind blew it down. I think it's absolutely possible. Is it necessary to place the schach lishmo? Do you have to have asiyas hasukah lishmo? Tasa lamanasa, you need asiya. Tasa lamanasa, do you need asiya lishmo? So sometimes you need asiya lishmo, sometimes you don't. Different mitzvahs. When you make a shofar, a non-Jew can make a shofar also. There's no din of tasa, there's no din of asiyah lishma by a shofar. Yeah. But what about, let's say, what about kviyas hamezuzah? Let's say the non-Jewish fellow comes to paint an apartment and he takes down all the mezuzahs. Then after 2 days after he finishes painting, he puts the mezuzahs back up in the same place where they were originally. He's careful to put them up the same way that he took them down. So what's the din? Do you need hanochas hamezuzah lishma? So in Achreinim it's a machlokes. I remember someone asked Rav Soloveitchik. He said he doesn't remember any rayas one way or the other from the Gemara. Achreinim have a machlokes. Nobody has any rayas. What the din is? Whether you need hanochas hamezuzah lishma or not. So by schach, placing the schach on top of the sukkah, that's a machlokes in the Mishnah and Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah. The first Mishnah is discussed till Chesam and Beis, and Tesam and Aleph is the second Mishnah, Masech HaSukkah, where it's a machlekes b'shama and b'silo, whether you need hanochas haschach lishma. We paskin like b'silo that you do not need hanochas haschach lishma. Where did b'shama get their idea from that you need lishma? So they get it from Chag HaSukkah Tasa Lecha. The additional level of interpretation that it goes on Asiyas HaSukkah, and they understand the word Tachag Sukkas Tasa Lecho L'Shem Chay Vaschem, that the Hanochas Tasav Lemon Asi goes on the Schach, not on the Tvanas. So the Schach has to be placed Lishmo Tasa Lecho L'Shem Chay Vaschem, that you have to do Lishmo. So the question is, so what did Bishul do with that Pasuk? It says Lecho. Why don't they also agree that you need Lishmo? So the Gemara says the Pasuk is telling me the din that it's hooked to the mitzvah side. Yeah, but that's Chag. Kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. That you learn from the word Chag. But what do you learn from the word Lecho? L'shem chay vaschem. So the Ramban, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Ramban. Ramban thinks that even Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai, that if you want the sukkah to be Chal Shem Shamayim, it'll only be hooked to the mitzvah if a Jew put the schach on lishma. But if a nochri puts it on, a nochri doesn't have the mitzvah of sukkah, so whoever is any b'teres cannot create lishma. She was learning Gittin this year, so there's a tesis in Gittin, I think, on Tesam and Beis. The top tesis on Tesam and Beis, but they give four reasons why a nochri can't sign a get. So they give, one of the reasons is that Enoch is Zayne B'Torah's Git in the Kiddushin. Another reason is that he can't think Lishma. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik quotes Rab Simcha Zelig in his Sefer on the Rambam, where he says that the Rambam seems to hold that these are not two different psulim. Whoever Zayne B'Torah's can't create Lishma. That's what, let's say, Enochri bakes matzahs for Pesach. So the Gemara says, if you see the goy made matzahs for Pesach, he can eat it during the ration of Pesach, but he can't use it for the Seder, because for the Seder he need that the matzahs will bake lishma. And the Rishonim says, hey, what's wrong? Why can't a nochri bake lishma? So the Rishonim say what Rab Simcha Zelig said: whoever zayne b'Torah is a given mitzvah cannot create lishma. Al pidin, to create lishma you have to be b'Torah. So nochri cannot create lishma by matzah. And according to Beis Hillel also, the only time it'll be hooked in the mitzvah is if the schach was put on lishma. They agree with Beis Shammai. Tase lecho l'shem chay vaschem. So Beis Shammai hold that the only time it'll be, and the pasuk says chaga sukkah tase lecho, the sukkah is going to be hooked in the mitzvah like a korban chagiga. So it'll only be hooked in the mitzvah if you put on the schach lishma. So Beis Hillel will say, okay, If you have a sukkah that's made by an non-Jew, you'll be out to the mitzvah. It won't be hooked to the mitzvah. There are two kinds of sukkahs. There's the sukkah that's holy, chal shem shamayim ala sukkah, just like chal shem shamayim ala chagiga. And then there's a secular sukkah. There's a sukkah with hooked to the mitzvah, a sukkah without hooked to the mitzvah. So the hillel hold, you can be out to the mitzvah with a sukkah that's not hooked to the mitzvah. If you want it to be hooked to the mitzvah, it'll be a holy sukkah. You have to have a Jew place the schach lishma. And Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are of the opinion, no, that's a condition. It's only going to be hooked to the mitzvah if you place the schach lishma. And there aren't two different kinds of a sukkah, a holy sukkah and a secular sukkah. The sukkah, you're only going to the mitzvah sukkah if it's chal shem shamayim, ala sukkah. That's how the Ramban learns. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Ramban. Mishnah Berurah even says, what if I put the schach on lishma this year, and then I use the room for other purposes in the course of the year, and then it comes next sukkahs? So since the schach was not placed on l'shem shnas tavshin pei dalid, I put it on for this year sukkahs tavshin pei gimel. I didn't put it on for sukkahs tavshin pei dalid. So he says, if you want it, it'll only be chal shem shamayim. It'll only be hooked to the mitzvah. So if you take it off and you put it back lishma, the question is that we really don't paskan like that Ramban. That's a problematic Mishnah Berurah. Tosfos disagrees with the Ramban. Tosfos says that even if you sit in the sukkah was put up by a nochri. It doesn't have to be hooked to the mitzvah. Say. The sukkah was put up by a nochri. If I sit in the sukkah, it becomes hooked to the mitzvah. Say. There's no need for it to be chal shem shamayim, that you have to put the schach lishma. So it's a problem. It's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sukkah. They're both in Hilchos Sukkah. One place he writes like the Ramban that it's only going to be hooked to the mitzvah if you put the schach on lishma, and he talks if you put the schach lishma this year, so for next year it won't be hooked to the mitzvah. So chiddush on top of a chiddush. And another place he says like Tosfos, even if the nochri put the schach on shelo lishma, but then you sit in the sukkah, it becomes hooked to the mitzvah. There is a Tosfos in Gittin and Daf Memhei on the base, where the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by Tosfos as saying that women are not mechuyev in sukkah and they're not mechuyev in tzitzis, because these are two examples of the mitzvah saseh shehazman grama noshma pturis. So since the women are ena b'toras sukkah and not b'toras tzitzis, so if a woman will tie tzitzis on a talis, the tzitzis won't be kosher because she's ena b'toras. And if a woman will tie, remember years ago when the Bnei Akiva used to sell the dalaninim, they used to have a girlfriend in the neighborhood. She was the best one who knew how to tie the lulav and the hadasim and the arovas. So she used to tie all the time. She used to make the eged. So the Rabbeinu Tam says in the Tosfos that an isha psula to make the eged. So Tosfos asks, but a woman is pata from the mitzvah of sukkah. And if a woman puts up the sukkah, it is good. A guy is not mechuyev in sukkah. The Gemara says sukkah is gambach rakvash is good. Gambach is a Rosh Hatevis. Goyim, Noshim. I forgot already who the base is. Kusim. Behemoth. A sukkah made for a behemoth. Yeah. a sukkah that a guy put up is a kosher sukkah, because you don't need lishma. We paskin like Basil, you don't need lishma. If the din would have been like Bishamai, then sukkah's gamach rakvash is no good. You made a sukkah for goyim, or a woman made the sukkah, or a nochri put on the schach. So if you need lishma, then it's no good. But so the Gemara said that is good. So why does Rabbi and Tam say that if the tzitzis or the eged alulav was made by a woman, it's no good? So the Achrayim say that the Rabbi and Tam apparently thinks that you need Tosafot shitas like this. When you tie the chutim onto the beged, the tzitzis, chutei tzitzis on the beged, you have to tie it lishma. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that you don't need lishma when you tie on. When you take the wool and you convert it into string, that, the Gemara says, has to be lishma. So Tosafot understood as a kal v'chomer. If so far back, taking the wool, and when you shear the wool off from the sheep, from the back of the sheep, you don't have to shear it off lishma. You don't have to have in mind, I'm going to make a string for the tzitzis for this. And when you clean it, you don't have to have lishma. But when you make it into thread, and when you twine it, so the Gemara says you have to do lishma. So Rabbi Natan understands that's called asiyas ha-tzitzis. When you tie the chutim on the beged, you certainly need lishma. The Rambam says not so. The Rambam says you only need lishma when you convert the string, when you convert the wool into string. But when you tie the strings onto the beged, you don't need lishma. What the Rabbi Natan says over here is that if a girl is going to tie the chutim ha-tzitzis, since women are potter from tzitzis, so they cannot create lishma by tzitzis, and he thinks that you do need lishma. When you tie the chutim onto the beggar, you need lishma. So a woman, zayin b'toras, cannot create lishma. What did Rabbi Natan say, that the woman can't tie the yeged? Why not? That's a machlokes hatanaim. It happens to be Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim also, but it's unrelated to this machlokes. That's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, whether lulav tzorech yeged, a lulav ain't a tzorech yeged. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that lulav tzorech yeged. And if you didn't tie the lulav hadasman arabis together, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. It has to be tied together. And we paskin against that tana, yochev v'rab malochi gerabim. We paskin that lachatchile, it's a mitzvah min amuvcha mishor mehida mitzvah. The more quotes to pasuk zeh kelin yanveyu. Mishor mehida mitzvah, it looks nicer if the hadasim and arabis are tied together with the lulav. So that's mitam hida mitzvah, you should make an egg. But it's not miyake b'di yebed. So what does Rabbi Natan say? That if a girl tied the eged around the lulav and the hadassah on the rabbis, it's puzzle. How can it be puzzle? We paskin, you don't even need an eged. Lulav ain't a tzorech eged, it's just mishum hida mitzvah. It's only mishum hida mitzvah, so what does he say that it's puzzle? Unless he means aliba the Rabbi Yehuda. If you hold like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav tzorech eged, and the Gemara says a possibility. What does it mean, Rabbi Yehuda Shita? We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. What is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the lulav tzorech eged? So if you don't learn through the Gemaras, you'll get the mistaken impression that lulav tzorech eged, it should be mechubah, should be mitzuref yachad. If it's not tied up together, so the dalaminim are not mechubah together. Even though you don't tie the esrog, you only tie the hadasim and the arabis, but the lulav, but still, if you don't tie it together, so it's not mitzuref together. The Gemara said that's not the correct pshat. The correct pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is adulat tzarech eged, that you need asiya on the lulav and the hadasim and the arabis. We assume we paskin ain't tzarech eged. You don't need asiya. It's a natural thing. It grows from the ground. What kind of asiya? And Rabbi Yehuda shita is no. When you tie it together, it's considered as if you made the lulav and the hadasim and the arabis. So that's why the Gemara says. Just like there's a pasuk by Sukkah, Chag Sukkah Tasa Lachal Shivas Yam Tasa V'Lamin Ha'Osui, that you need Asiya on the Sukkah. If you put the schach on the Sukkah while it was still under the branches, under the tree, and the whole area was shaded, and then you remove all of the branches, so that's no good. That's Tasa V'Lamin Ha'Osui. So too, the Gemara said there's a din of tasav lamen ha'asui by if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav tzorech eged. Gemara says that there may be a din of tasav lamen ha'asui aliba the Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because you see that Rabbi Yehuda sheet the lulav tzorech eged, it's a requirement you need asiya. So if you need asiya, then you can possible to go one step further. You need asiya lishma. doesn't necessarily have to go one step further, but that's apparently what the Rabbeinu Tam holds. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav tzarecheg, it means that you need asiya, so he holds that you need asiya lishma. Even though we paskin by the sukkah, you don't need asiya lishma. We don't paskin like Beishama, we paskin like Beishilu. A sukkah that's made by an ochriya, made by a woman is kosher, even though it's a low lishma. But the asiya by the lulav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, has to be lishma. The shayla is, maybe even according to the Rabbana hold the lulav, and it's tzarecheged liikuva. But chatchila mishum here the mitzvah, the chachamim also agree that that lulav tzarech eged. So to what extent do they agree with Rabbi Yehuda? To lechatchila what? So there's a Rashi in Sukkah. There's a big Rashi in the middle of Sukkah. Rashi points out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav tzarech eged, it's not good enough if you just wrap around a strip from the lulav and you tuck it in. That's not an eged. Eged has to be a kesher, gabi kesher, a real knot. And then Rashi says, not only is that true according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Chacham and the Rabbi Yehuda also, l'chatchila lulav tzarech eged, it's not miyaked, but l'chatchila, so l'chatchila is not enough, it's just wrapped around and tucked in, you have to have a real knot. So who makes a real knot? Usually most people don't make a knot, you just wrap around and you tuck it in. So the Mishnah Bura quotes a sefer, Agura bo halecha, an exotic title, how did he discover this sefer, Agur v'alecha? There's a little sefer that's called Pischei Tshuva. And the Arachayim, we don't have a Pischei Tshuva in the big Shulchan, we just have a Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva was written in the 1700s. See, there never has anything from the later generations. The Pischei Tshuva on Yeruvadei, Eben Ezra, Chosh Mishpat, is Givaldik, Meiridik. I'll take a four-page Tshuva of the Chsam Sefer and I'll quote the two most important lines that you have to know. Leave out all the rayas. I'll just give you the two lines. I'll quote the four-page Shuvah in the Rabbi Yehuda. I give you the two lines that are the most crucial. Pischei Tshuva is fantastic. The Shuvah was written in the late 1800s. So the Anor Chaim, you don't have a Pischei Tshuva like that printed on the page. But one of the Dayanim in Vilna wrote a little sefer that's called Pischei Tshuva. So the Mishnah Brura writes in the introduction that he's only going to quote. He's going to quote all the Achronim on the Daf, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz, and the people Godim, and the Machzal Shekel, Chemed Moshe, whoever is on the Daf. Maimon Mordechai, whoever is on the Daf, he's going to quote. And if it's not on the Daf, like Tshuva of Yikivega, Tshuva Chassam Sovi, he says, he'll quote whatever is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva. And every once in a long, long while, every once in 75 pages, he'll write, look in the Pischei Tshuva. But in the introduction, he says he's using the Pischei Tshuva. So he only quotes those achronim, not on the daf, he'll only quote those that are quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. So that's why he quotes this Tzadik Sefer, Agura Ba'alecha. So he said, in this Sefer that he quotes, he says the way they weave the container that they have outside in the hallway that they're selling, that you put in the lulav, the hadasim, and the harabis, it's all crisscross, it's all full of knots. The whole thing is full of knots. So the knot is made already. So if you take one of these containers and you stick in the lulav, and then you stick in the hadas, and you stick in the arabis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that'll be tasav alam and asay. It's no good. You have to. The knot was made before you had the gimel minim there. So that's no good. You have to hold the lulav, hadas, and arabis, and then tie it together. Here the knot is already manufactured before you even bought your lulav. The knot is already there. That's going to be a tas of lemon asa. So the shayla is, does this carry over? According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's room to say that that's no good. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So do you say the Chachamim say lechatchila, whatever Rabbi Yehuda says, but the Yevid, Chachamim say lechatchila. So Rashi says that when you get to Kesher al Gabi Kesher, that even though we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds love, sarcheged, the ikuve, but lechatchila, mishum hida mitzvah, you need a Kesher al Gabi Kesher. So with Rashi say hu adinami, the tasav lemin you know, asi carries over. So there's a very good sefer on Dalan Minim that has all the dinim alphabetically arranged. The author of the sefer, the sefer is called Chaim Avrochel and Mishmer Shalom. Mishmer Shalom, he's known for the author, he lived a little over 100 years ago. He quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes the Or Sameach, he has Haoris from the Marsham, he he lived in a generation where he met, he knew great Gaonim. So he writes in the introduction, he wrote a sefer, Mishmer Sholem. Mishmer Sholem is a commentary on the Taz and the Shach and Yerideya. No, I said it wrong. Mishmer Sholem is a commentary on the Prima Gotim on Yerideya, which is a commentary on the Shach and the Taz. Now hardly anybody looks in the Prima Gotim. But years ago, everybody used the Prima Gotim. Everybody used the Prima Gotim. Now that we have, see, years ago, people didn't have, when my father learned Yerideya here in the yeshiva, they didn't have a Torah in the Beis Yosef. The Sfarim were not available. So the Prima Gotim is in the back of the big Shulchan Aruch. So something is unclear in the Shach and the Taz, so you look in the Prima Gotim. Now you don't have to look in Prima Gotim. We have, every Beis Medrash has 10 sets of a Torah in the Beis Yosef. So you look in the Torah. You look in the Beis Yosef, you'll find what's missing. So hardly anybody looks in the Prima Gotim. So this Sefer was written over 100 years ago. This is a commentary on the Prima Gotim, commentary on the Taz and the Shach. That's the Mishmer Sholem. He was a big poisik. So he wrote two little svarim that are called Chaim Avrochim and Mishmer Sholem. One's on Hilchas Avelis and one is on Hilchas Dalad Minim. He has all of Hilchas Avelis alphabetically arranged, and he has all of Hilchas Dalad Minim alphabetically arranged. He writes what motivated him to write the Sefer on Dalad Minim. He says, the rabbis are busy, Yom Kippur time, Balabatim are asking Shailas, are they allowed to eat? Pochas Pochas, Mikashir, are they allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? The Rabbonim had a Paschal Shailas, who's allowed to eat, who's not allowed to eat? And Rosh Hashanah, they had Shailas, Hilchas Yontif, Hilchas Shefer, and so on. So the Rabbonim are so busy, they have no time to work on Hilchas Dalad Minim. So he wrote this Sefer to make it easier for them. Everything is arranged alphabetically, and he quotes everything that was available to him 100 years ago. So he has, by now we have many more Rishonim, but at the time that he put out the Sefer, they didn't have so many Rishonim, but they have a lot of Rishonim and Kisvayad. So he quotes a lot from Kisvayad at that time. Now we have better Svarim, now we have so many more Rishonim, we have better Svarim, but it's a fantastic Sefer. So in this Sefer, Chaim Avrochim, Mishmer Sholem, on the Dalad Minim, alphabetically arranged, so under the letter Tav, goes Malat Tav. Under the letter Tav, he has the din, Tasu Lemin Asui. So he discusses what's the din of Tasu Lemin Asui if you don't paskel like Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold like the Chachamim, that Lulav Tzarecheger is only Lechatchila Mishem Hida Mitzvah, it's not Miyakeh V'Yevid, we just say that just like Rashi wrote that you need a Kesher Gabi Kesher, Lechatchila, because that's what Rabbi Yehuda requires, big Le'ikuvah, so we require it Lechatchila. We just say also that Tasav Lam Rasi Lachatchila should passel by the Dalad Minim on the Eged or not. So the Chaim Avroch and Mishmer Shalom quotes a Ha'orah from the Marsham that's Kimat Beferish against the Gemara. He says the Gemara is Mashma Beferish, that it's only an issue according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tasav Lam Rasi. According to the Chacham is not a problem. Rav Soloveitchik had this Chumrah. He didn't want to use the Keshikol because he said it's going to be Tasav Lam Rasi. And the Chachamim agreed to everything Rabbi Yehuda said lechatchila. So that's a question. The Magen Avraham quotes this Rabbi Natam in Gittin Daf Mem Hemen Beis, where the Rabbi Natam says that a girl shouldn't tie the haldasim et arabas onto the lulav. L'chor, it's only possible to say that if the Rabbi Natam holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav tzarech eged, you need lishma, and you need lishma nasiyas eged. So a woman is not Eina B'Torah, she doesn't have the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, so she can't create Lishma. But we paskin, you don't need Lishma. We paskin what? You need Lechatchila, you need Lishma. Lechatchila, you need Lishma. So that's why the Magen Avraham quoted it. That's questionable, whether you need Lishma, Lechatchila. Very questionable. Dalad Minim, everybody knows, Hadasim have to be Mishaloshim. That's the big, that takes a lot of time until you find Hadassah Mishaloshim. Mikra Din, the din is, it says on the bag, when you buy the Hadassah out in the hallway, so the bag says that it's only Mishaloshim Rubo. It doesn't have to be Kulo. If it's Rubo, it's good enough. Rubo Kukulo. Okay. So that's correct. That din is correct. A lot of times from the time you open up the bag, Kolzman, the bag is closed, so it's not going to get ruined. But once you open up the bag, then the hadasim are going to get ruined, even if you keep them in the refrigerator wrapped up and so on. So it's not a bad idea to have more than three hadasim. Because some of the Rambam writes that there's no isut baltosif if you have more than three hadasim. There was some Rishonim who used to have, how much is Hodos Begimatria? Is 69. Hey, Dalet Samach. So some used to use 69 hadasim. The Rambam said, the Rambam doesn't talk about the Hodos Begimatria, other Rishonim have that. But the Rambam says it's a Hira mitzvah to have more than three hadasim. So it's not a bad idea to use more than three hadasim, just in case some of the leaves fall off and one of them becomes pasul. It may reach a point that one is pasul. So that's a shaila. How many hadasim do you really need? Do you need taka three hadasim? So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah. It's a shaila how we paskan. It's a sfeika d'dina. What if you only have two hadasim that are kosher? You don't have three. So one tana backed out in the Mishnah. One tana rab tarfon. He starts off by assuming you need three. Then he backs out. All you need is one. The pasuk says anaf etzavah. So the word anaf is in the singular. Arve nachal is in the plural. So you need miyad rab shalom. You need two arvos. Kapois tamarim. Kapois is in the plural. The Gemara says kapas ksiv. It's a kriya ksiv. It's written chumash without a vav. So you only need one lulav. Pre-Eitzoder is in the singular, so you need one estrig, one lulav, and maybe one hadas. So one tana says one hadas is enough. Elachatchila, we require three. Maybe the din is like the tana, that you need three. Where did he come off to say three? Because the pasuk has three words, anaf, eitz, ovis. So that's one of the midrash turned the dreshes back. One tana claims that, how do you know that there were 39 ovis malachas? You add up from the beginning of Bereshis till the end of Azayis HaBracha, how many times the word Malocha, Malachta, Malechas appear. So he claims that it's 39. The problem is much more than 39. So there are different shitas and Rishonim, which is he counting, which is he not counting. But that's officially one of the Midrash HaTaran Adreshes Ben. If you have a word that's mentioned several times, you add it up, and it gives you the sum total of what you need. That's how the Tanoim decided how many defanos you have to have. Machlekes with the shtaim kelchos mashlishes afilu tefach, shalosh kelchos merviyas afilu tefach. We paskin shtaim kelchos mashlishes afilu tefach. Yeah, Tosis says it's not a violation of Baltosif. If you have a sukkah with four walls, there's no violation of Baltosif. It doesn't have to be davke shtaim kelchos mashlishes afilu tefach. Kelchos means at a right angle to each other. I remember once I was visiting, there was a function once, an NCSY function, in the home of one Balabas in Muncie, and he just built a new home, and he shows me, he was a classmate of mine in high school here, in MTA, and he shows me that he has a built-in sukkah. This was 40 years ago, 50 years ago, a long time ago. So he davened the Rabbi Tendler Shul. So he said, Rabbi Tendler told him the sukkah is good. I said, you better ask Rabbi Tendler again. Mrs. Tendler was there. When I was there, Mrs. Tendler said, this sukkah is no good. Rabbi Tendler, I thought she was right. I don't think he must have misheard Rabbi Tendler. He wouldn't say it's kosher. Not so poshut. Not every sukkah is kosher. So there is an opinion that one hadas is enough. The other opinion, you need three hadasim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you don't have three kosher hadasim, so you shake the lulav without a bracha. Maybe the din is that some machlokes are rishonim. Maybe the din is that one is enough. Maybe the din is you don't need all three to be kosher. On the first 2 days you need shalachem. On the first day you need shalachem. Ulokachtem lachem mishalachem. On the second day it's a machlokes are rishonim, but you need shalachem. And the Ritva has the machlokes are rishonim. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yankov who says he sees from the Shulchan Aruch in one place. And we pass in Halacha that the first 2 days you need shalachem. Yeah, why was there an opinion that you don't need shalachem on the second day? So they don't explain it well. I didn't see it in the Rishonim that they explained it. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained it. Why should you not need shalachem? So he said, the Gemara points out that when Rabbi Chaim Azaka was the chief rabbi for 40 years, his bezna made 9 takonis. So some of the takonis, many of the takonis were made after the Churban HaBayis. So one of the tachanas was she helulam nito kol shiva zechel nigdush. In nigdush, there's a din deraisa. You have to shake a lulav all 7 days. And begvulin, it's on the lekacht al chem bayam arishan, only on the first day. After the churban beis hamikdash, they won't be anywhere in the world where they're going to be shaking a lulav all 7 days. So the mitzvah may be forgotten. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted takonis zechel hamikdash. We should shake a lulav and an esrog all over the world. When did they make the takona of Yantav Sheni Shal Golias? So there are different periods in the takona. So we observe it now during the lifetime of Abaye Verovit. That's when they changed the system. Until the days, the Rama quotes this from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, until the lifetime of Abaye Verovit, the Rabbanim, their counterparts, and Abaye Verovit lived in Bavel. They didn't have any smicha. So you can't do Kiddush HaChodesh if you don't have smicha. But their counterparts who lived in Eretz Israel at the same time were making Kiddush HaChodesh to Pi Hariyah. So it was during their lifetime that they established the Luach Kavua that we have today. And it was during their lifetime that they made the Takana that everybody has to observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. So when they made that Takana in the days of Abaye Verovit, there already was a din from the days of Churban Bayis Sheni that Lulav Nito Kol Shiva. You have to shake the Lulav every day anyway. So you're going to have to shake the lulav the second day of Yontif, all 7 days of Sukkot. So during the lifetime of Abaye Verovit, when they made the institution of Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, the way we have it now, there was no need to make a takana. You should shake a lulav on the second day. Everybody's shaking a lulav all 7 days. We're shaking lulav all 7 days. Takanas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, from way before the days of Abaye Verovit. So that's why some of the Rishonim hold, you don't need Shalachem. They should make it that you have to shake a lulav for another reason. It's a sake of the yom of the first day. You have to shake a lulav anyway, Kol Shiva. So they didn't feel necessary to make a sake of the yom, a takona, that you need shalachem for the second day. You're going to shake the lulav anyway, so it won't be shalachem. What's the big deal? Anyway, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yankov. Bikur Yankov is the first sefer that was written by Rabbi Yankov Etlinger. Yankov Etlinger is the author of the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion and Oruch Laner. He's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. He gave smicha to a lot of prominent rabbis. The chief rabbi, Nathan Adler, was the chief rabbi. He was the same time as Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. He was chief rabbi of England, of the British Empire. There used to be a British Empire. It used to mean something years ago. He was a prominent Talmid Chacham. I think he was in Hamburg. So the first sefer that he wrote is called Bikur Yankov. So in the Bikur Yankov, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot, and every page he quotes from the Bikur Yankov. Bikur Yankov is on Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Dalaminim. He has a lot of important comments. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Bikur Yankov, that you see from the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch has accepted that opinion that on the second day of Sukkah, he also needs Shalachem. Anything that's not usable on the first day, let's say a lot of times first day Sukkot is on Shabbos, so people are not so makbid about the Esrog, about the Lulav, everything is only the Rabbanon. So that's not right, because the second day of Sukkot has all the same dinim as the first day of Sukkot. You need Shalachem, and you need Hodor, you need everything that you need the first day, you need from the second day. So the Bikur Yankov has a fascinating idea that became very popular in recent years, after Hakamas HaMedina, that the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos writes, in the Mishnah Torah he does not write this, but in the Pirush HaMishnayos he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that when the Mishnah says, Lulav Nitol Ba-Migdosh Kol Shiva, it's a din in our Torah, you have to shake the Lulav all 7 days, that's how the Pasuk ends off. Vesmachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim. Vesmachtem, it says, lekacht alachem b'yom arishin pri yitzor lekapsam al nafei tzovis. That's b'yom arishin, the first day. Vesmachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim. How do you do vesmachtem? With the dalet minim, that's how you know that your lulav is nito kol shiva in the migdosh. So what does it mean, migdosh? In the beis ha-migdosh. Which part of the beis ha-migdosh? So, the Merchas Chinuch points out that we have a few psukim in Chumash that tell us dinim that have to be done lefnei Hashem, and the location is different in each pasuk. Let's say v'shachat is ben abaka lefnei Hashem. You have to shecht the korbanos in the Azara. You can't shecht it in the Har HaBayis, and you can't shecht it in Yerushalayim. It'll be nifsal b'yotzei. Shachar is ben abakal of Hashem, the beginning of Vayikra, means in the Azor. Then it says, B'chatzotzos, we call shofar haria lefnei ha-melech Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah, we only blow shofar. We don't blow chatzotzos. On Atanisiba, the only blow chatzotzos, they don't blow shofar. But in Migdosh, both on Rosh Hashanah and on Atanisiba, whenever you blow one, you have to blow the other. And they blew them simultaneously. So it's only by Migdosh. B'chatzotzos, we call shofar haria lefnei ha-melech Hashem. So how much of the Beis HaMikdash is called of the Melech Hashem? So the Gemara says the Har HaBayis is also, not only in the Azara, Har HaBayis also is like that. And then sometimes you have a Pasuk, Bechalta Hashem lefnei Hashem lakecha ma'isa digoncha b'sirotcha yisarecha v'chores b'kocha b'tzaynecha. You should eat lefnei Hashem lakecha ma'isa sheni. You can eat ma'isa sheni in Yerushalayim. You don't have to eat it in the Azara, you don't have to eat it in the Har HaBayis. So there the Pasuk says lefnei Hashem lakecha means Yerushalayim. So how come the same phrase, Lifnei Hashem, sometimes means Asara, and sometimes means Har HaBayis, and sometimes means Yerushalayim? So the answer is, the Mishnah and Kalim, at the end of the first parak, says, Esa Kedusha Sein, there are 10 levels of Kedusha HaMikdash. The Iker, the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, and the Kodesh HaGadashim. Then you go a little further, you have the Hechel. Then you have a little further, Ben Hula Vala Mizbeach. Then you have the rest of the Asara, then you have Ezra Snashim, then you have the rest of the Har HaBayis. Then you have Yerushalayim. All of Eretz Yisrael also has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. But the ten different levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis quotes this from the Yerushalmi, that Lulav Nitol BaMikdash called Shiva is not restricted only to the Azora, it applies to the whole Ir HaAtika. In the Mishnah Perot Torah, it doesn't write like that. Mishnah Torah just writes the Mikdash. Doesn't say Yerushalayim. So now the question is whether Yerushalayim today retains the Kedusha that it had Bezban Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim. Do we assume that the Mokam Yerushalayim was Kitshalasi Lavai, like the rest of Eretz Yisrael? Most of Rishayim assume that all of Eretz Yisrael was Kitshalasi Lavai, the Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha Rishayim, which was accomplished by Yeshua Ben Nun through Kibush V'chiluk, was Batal at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. So for 70 years, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. But then when Ezra and Nehemiah brought the Jews back from Babel, they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. So most of the Rishonim assume that the Kedusha Sa'aretz is Kitchel Asilov. The second Kedusha was Kitchel Asilov. In Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Agro quotes the Sefer HaTruma. The Rabbein Baruch, the Baal HaTes, the Sefer HaTruma, that the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla. Some Achrayim think that Rashi seems to pass on like that in Sanhedrin, in the third Perek. But the question is, what about Kedushas HaMikdash? Is the Kedushas HaMikdash Kitzel Lasi Lavai or Kedushas Yerushalayim? Is it Kitzel Lasi Lavai? It should be assumed that at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, the Kedushas HaMikdash was also in this battle. So that's a machlokes, is the Rambam in the Raavad, Hilchos Beis HaBchira. So the Rambam writes that Kedushas HaMikdash and Har HaBayis and Yerushalayim, it's all levels of Kedushas HaMikdash, was Kitzel Lasi Lavai. The Raavad thinks not so. The Rabbi thinks that it was Loikid Shalosilov. Rabbi Yankov Entlager lived in Europe. It was way before Hakamas HaMedina. Way before Hakamas HaMedina. And no one was dreaming about Hakamas HaMedina. And he writes this Chiddush, that if someone will be in the Ir HaAtika, he should shake a lulav, even if he already benched Esrik, let's say, in Me'er Shoharim. Me'er Shoharim is not the Ir HaAtika. That's not Yerushalayim. So then, if he goes to the Kosel HaMaravi, that's in the Ir HaAtika, so then he should check Lulav again, because the Lulav that he shook in Tel Aviv, or in Me'er Shoharim, or in Amad, in the New Yerushalayim, that was only a Lulav that was the Rabbanan. Now when he comes to the Ir HaAtika, we have to check Lulav in HaTorah. Remember, when I was a student in Yeshiva, so all the Rabbein were, most of the Rabbein were Europeans. Remember, Rabbi Gerelik told us he was learning by Rabbi Elvel HaSoloveitchik in Europe, and they asked Rabbi Elvel HaSoloveitchik whether this shita, this chumrah, applies even on the first day of Sukkah. The first day of Sukkah is, wherever you are in the world, you yotze the mitzvah of lulav in HaTorah. So let's say somebody shook the lulav in Me'er Shoharim, then he walks to the Kosel HaMaravi. He walks in the afternoon on the first day. So even on the first day, there's also an added mitzvah to shake lulav in the Ir HaAtika. Or maybe the added mitzvah only applies the other 6 days of Sukkah. First day, everyone's mechuyev all over the world to shake a lulav. Maybe on the first day, there's no added mitzvah. So he said, no one was even dreaming. This is before the Second World War. No one was even dreaming about Hakamas HaMedina. What is that? And Rabbi Avraham Soloveitch, one of the boys asked the question, he was thinking about it, said he does know the answer. Interesting. And then he said, a few years later, there's a Medina and the Shaila's Halacha L'Maisa. People shook a lulav and Meir Shem, then they walked to the Kotel Maravi on the first day. What's the din? Do they have to shake over or not? Anyway, so that's a famous Machlekes, Tosfos and the Ramban. On the first daf in Lulav HaGozel, this din, a lulav nito kol shiva b'migdosh, a din d'araisa, they need shalachem or not. So Tosfos shita is that whenever lulav is d'araisa, he needs shalachem. By us, lulav nito kol shiva is only midirabbanon. So they never introduced the need for shalachem. But Tosfos thinks that whenever lulav is d'araisa, then you need shalachem. So let's say in lulav nito b'migdosh kol shiva, Tosfos thinks that you need shalachem. And the Ramban says that doesn't make any sense. He disagrees with Tosfos. So there are two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah lekachtem, one mitzvah lesmachtem. The mitzvah lekachtem says lekachtem lachem. Each lachem for lekachtem. Lekachtem is only the first day. Second day is the sveka diayma of the first day. But for the mitzvah lesmachtem, that's a different thing. You need the chefza of the dalamina. But shalachem is not a din and chefza. Other is a din and a chefza. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran on the Rif in Masechet Sukkah, who understood the Gemara to say the following. The Gemara says the Hadassim and the Aravis have to have a minimum of 3 tvochim tall. The Lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tvochim. So you should be able to be menaneya, a tefach of the Lulav above the Aravis and the Hadassim. So very often you get Arava Hadassim, they're usually not so long, but Aravas a lot of times are very long. So what if you have Aravas that is so long that you don't have a tefach of the lulav above the tip of the Arava? So you should snip off the bottom of the Arava to make sure that you have a tefach of the shedra of the lulav. The shedra doesn't go up to the top. The shedra is the thick part, the back of the lulav. The shedra is the thick part. When you get to the top, there's no shedra. It disappears a few inches before the top. So the Ran understood in the Gemara, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The shedra of the lulav has to extend the tefach above the height of the hadassim and the arabis. And if you have arabis, a lot of times you hold arabis and hadassim a few inches above the bottom of the lulav. So it's not a smart idea. If the lulav is not too tall, not a smart idea. It may be you hold the hadassim and the rav is so high on the lulav, you won't have a tefach of the shedra above the top of the aravis. But that's a Ran that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Then in this sefer, Chaim Avrochim, the Mishmer Shalom, has all the hilchos d'alaminim alphabetically arranged. He quotes whatever Rishonim and Achronim he had access to. So he quotes that in one of the svarim written, the Pardes, is written by Talmud of Rashi. So he quotes a lot of psalchim from Rashi. Rashi and the Gemara, you never find these strange things. But Rashi in the Pardes, the Talmidim quote all kinds of strange things. So they quote there that if you put the Hadassim and the Aravah such a way that the Aravahs are taller than the Hadassim, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. How can it be you're not Yotze the Mitzvah? It's very, very strange. Very strange. But you should try to see that it should be like that. The Hadassim are supposed to be higher up than the Aravahs. And the lulav, you have to have the shedra of the lulav. The shedra lulav is the thick part, has to protrude at least the tefach above the aravis and the hadassim. Yeah, I'll close with that. This year is Matzoi Shmita, so Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayikayim, when the pasuk says that and Chag HaSukkah is following Shnas HaShmita, the melech lanes hakem. So, bizman hazeh, we don't have any melech. So is that miyakev? So the pashta says the melech is not miyakev. We don't have any melech now. Pashta, the melech is not miyakev. Some Jewish person has the lane, someone who represents Klal Yisrael. But do we have a din of hakel deraisa bizman hazeh? So certainly not, because the whole shmita is only with the rabbanim. When Shmita will be their Isa, then Hakel will be their Isa. It doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere that they made a takonim with the Rabbanim that you have to make a mitzvah zecha lehakel b'zman hazeh. Is it permissible to have a zecha lehakel? is it permissible or not? So in the late 1800s, Shmos, there were always Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael. All the generations, there was Sfardim. So they always had a Rishon Letzion. But the Ashkenazim only started moving into Eretz Yisrael. The early 1800s, the Vilna Gaon encouraged his Talmidim to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the Baal Shem encouraged his followers to move to Eretz Yisrael, and they said this will hasten the coming of Mashiach if they'll move to Eretz Yisrael. But they didn't really need, they needed a Bezin for the Ashkenazim. So sometime in the 1800s, they instituted the Badatz, the Bezin Tzedek for the Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why they always had for many years, they had two chief rabbis, because the chief rabbis would give Kabbalah for Shechita. In order to Shecht, you have to be certified by a Talmud Chacham that you know how to Shecht. So the way the Sfardim do Shechita is different from the way the Ashkenazim do Shechita, and the different opinion about Treifus also. So they always had two different Kabbalahs. The Sfardic chief rabbi would give Kabbalah for Shechita for Sfardim, Ashkenazim chief rabbi give Ashkenazim. So in the late 1800s, the head of the Badatz, of the Eidah Haredis, the Bezin for the Ashkenazim, and I told was Rav Shmuel Salant. He was very old. They said he's not going to live forever. They should appoint someone else to take over. So it took a few years. There was a whole pilpul. Whom should they appoint? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik felt that they should appoint Rav Bitzel Aponovitzer. He thought that he was the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. Rav Chaim, the practice used to be like today. A lot of times a rabbi functions in America. Then when he retires, he moves to Eretz Yisrael. So then also a lot of Rabbanim from Europe, big Moreh Haruah, they would retire and they would join the Badatz and the Eidah Haredim. So they had a lot of Moreh Haruah. So, but they didn't have people who knew how to say a knockout Shia. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik felt that they should appoint Rav Bitzel Aponovitzer. He was the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. But it didn't work out, it didn't happen. He was the biggest Baal Mechadish, but his psalkim would never accept the Lavach. He was a little too much Mechadish. Mechadish against Gemaris, Mechadish too much. So that didn't happen. So what happened was, I think in 1901, the Aderis was the one who was chosen, and he came. Aderis is a Rosh Yeteves Elio David Rabinovich Ta'omim. He had a twin brother. Family name used to be Rabinowitz, and because when he was born, he had a twin brother, so the family name became Rabinowitz Ta'omim. So he was the first father-in-law of Rabbi Cook, the first chief rabbi in recent years, the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. He married the daughter of the Aderis in Europe. And then the daughter passed away. The first wife of Rav Kook passed away. So his father-in-law recommended that he should marry his first wife's cousin. That was his niece, his twin brother. He married the daughter of the twin brother. That was his second wife. So the Aderis was chosen. He was a big Talmid Chacham. He was a very big Talmid Chacham. Had also a lot of original opinion, but not against Tov and the Gemaris. He had a big Baal Mechadish also, but not like Rav Bitzel. Chidushim within Psak Halacha. They quote a lot of Psakim from him. A lot of them were not accepted. So he was a rabbi in Mir and a rabbi in Ponovich for a while. And it's interesting, after the Aderis passed away, so his daughter had already predeceased him. Rav Kook's wife, first wife, died before the father. And he had a son who was not at all into learning. I don't know if he was a Shema Mitzvah. So, and he had cottons of Kisvei Yad. So when the father passed away, when the Aderis passed away, so the son gave it to the Panovich Yeshiva, because his father was the Rav in Europe, in Panovich. Panovich Yeshiva didn't want to have anything to do with the Rabbanut, with the chief rabbinate. So they let it right away there in the library. They had cottons of Chidush HaTorah by the Aderis, and they had it sitting there for years and years. So one of the rabbeim in Yashlatz, in the high school, Yeshiva Latzirim, of Merkaz Harav, next door to Merkaz Harav, he once said, half jokingly and half seriously, that it wouldn't be a bad idea if the boys would go to the front of his yeshiva and take all the Kisrei Yad, because they're rotting away there. So a couple of boys went from Yashlatz, they went to Pan, they walked off with the cottons of Kisrei Yad. So the next day they realized that the Kisrei Yad are missing. Rav Shach was a young man there, he was only 95 years old or something like that. So he said, Gazlanim, they should give back all the Kisrei Yad. So they made a Xerox copy of every single page, and then they went back the next day. They put it in, just like nobody was watching the first, but nobody was watching the next day. And after that, every year, one of the branches of Merkaz Harav all over Eretz Yisrael would put out another sefer by the Aderis. They kept on printing out more and more from. They're going to print out all this from. So one of the Svarim that was printed during his lifetime, I think, was the Zecher LaHakel. He wrote, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Shmuel Salanter was getting old, and that's why he said they need a new chief rabbi. So when he came, I think 1901 he came, then he passed away in 1906 or something like that. Reb Shmuel Salanter was still going strong, another 10 years. So he wrote a small sefer, I think a soft cover sefer, about is it permissible to make a Zecher LaHakel? So he writes, he came to Eretz Yisrael and he asked around, and he found out that the Malamdim always did that, that the Chol HaMoed Sukkah, his father, Mishnas HaShmita, they would bring their children, if they were in Yerushalayim, or near Yerushalayim, they would bring all the Talmidim to the Kosel HaMarav and Chol HaMoed Sukkah, and they're teaching the Chumash, so they would recite all the Psukim, all the children recite the Psukim, they would make a Zecher LaHakel. So he writes, what's the klal? When do we permit imitation mitzvah and when not? So there's a machlekes hatanaim, whether we permit women to do smicha on korbanah. So the way we have the girsa and the gemara, the meiri and the ravid, the chachmi pervanta, and a whole different girsa in the gemara. Every so often they have totally different girsas. They have a different girsa. But the way it says in our gemara in chagiga, it says, according to the Tana, that women, nashim samchas rishus, women are permitted to do smicha. It's only they have their hands floating on the animal. They don't lean b'chol koichem. That's only an imitation, smicha. And one Tana says, we don't permit it. Machleis abyuter abyosi. One Tana says, we don't permit it because it may come lidei churva, because a woman may think she's allowed to do smicha like a man. And she'll lean on the animal b'chol koichem, and then it'll be a violation of ma'asavah b'chol sherech, where the sog is b'chol tzeinach, and giz v'avodah. That's... It's not Me'ila. Me'ila is if you're Nana from the Hegdash, not Nana from the Hegdash here, but they're doing Malacha the Hegdash. They're leaning on the animal, B'chol Koichem. So one Tana says, you're not permitted, Midrabanan, to let the women do an imitation smicha, because there may be Boli de Mechshon. So that's what the Haderis points out. And you have other Gemaras like that. The Gemara says in Sukkah, let's say 1 year, there's no Estrog available. So maybe we should shake Dalad Minim with a lemon and not say a bracha, just that we shouldn't forget the children who are growing up. But it could be that a lot of children, they never saw Dalad Minim before. They're just 5-6 years old. And this is going to be the first year that they'll see what Dalad Minim is all about. There won't be an esrig. So maybe we should shake a lula with an esrig that's puzzled with a lemon. Mara says it's not a good idea. If you're going to do an imitation mitzvah without a bracha, so next year maybe a shrogan will be available and people will remember. No, but last year we used a lemon. So they think I can use a lemon this year also. So that's the theme of the whole sefer. He says the klal seems to be, are you permitted to do an imitation mitzvah? So whenever there's a concern, a kilkel may come out, then you shouldn't do imitation mitzvah. So then we would permit the imitation mitzvah. So he says, what could be the churba coming out from Hakel? What's going to happen? They told him that for years and years. The Malamdim in Yerushalayim would always bring their children. We never heard that any kilkel came out of them. So it's usually assumed that it's mutter. So usually it's very impressive. All the tourists, if you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, all the tourists go to the Zecher LaHakel. It's set up by the government with the Rabbanut together. It's very, very impressive. They have Levim dressed in white, and they blow trumpets, just like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So after the Chazon Ish passed away, so they published a collection of letters, a small little sefer, published a collection of letters written by the Chazon Ish. Then they have another collection, two or three small little books. So at the end of the first collection of letters, they have that the Chazon Ish had this little soft-covered pamphlet by the Aderis on Zecher LaHakel, so he wrote on the outside cover. It was a paperback, it was a soft cover. It wasn't a hard cover, so a small kuntres. So he wrote on the outside of the cover, Ein lismacha ma shekasa b'sefer hazeh. He shouldn't rely on it. Why not? Probably he didn't want to have anybody support the Rabbanut. He was probably not happy with the Rabbanut, probably not happy with the government in Eretz Yisrael. But what's wrong with the, what the Adera said is probably correct. To make an imitation mitzvah, there's no chashash, nafik min echuv, the chuv may be a political kilkul. You got to think the Rabbanut is more reliable than they are. We know how reliable they are. They're a little bit reliable, not exactly. You know, the government, no one's going to think that it's Melech HaMashiach. Nobody thinks that the Rosh HaMemshalah now is the Melech HaMashiach. In fact, in my building where I live, our super is a waiter in a non-kosher steakhouse. So he says he missed it last week. The Rosh HaMemshalah ate steak in his steakhouse. Nevela, non-kosher steak. He missed it. He wasn't there that night. But they said all the other waiters said it was all exciting. The Prime Minister of Eretz Yisrael came with a whole bunch of secret service men. There's a lot of guards, bodyguards and everything. No one's going to think he's the Melech HaMashiach. Anyway, so if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's something exciting to see. In Eretz Yisrael, all the yeshiva guys boycott the Zecher LaHakol because of the Chazon Ish. If it's true, that's what they wrote. I don't know if it's true. They wrote that he wrote on the outside of the pamphlet, Ein Lismach HaMashiach Kosu LaSefer HaZeh. Okay, should all have a wonderful Yom Tov. Should all be out to all the wonderful mitzvahs. Anybody want to drink?